Flicker Fest has been around for a while, 31 years indeed, and unless you've had your head in the sand, you would certainly know a little bit about Flicker Fest. Joining me now is Festival Director Bronwyn Kidd to give us the heads up on Flicker Fest 31. Good morning, Bronwyn.
Hello, Jeff. Great to talk to you.
And you. Well, look, I love a short film, and that's what Flicker Fest is all about, right?
It certainly is. I mean, and it's not just about short films, Jeff. It's about really good short films.
Aha! Sorry.
We have over 3,200 entries this year, and that was massive. And, you know, I spent months and months and months, lots of distillation, lots of consideration, and selected around 200 films in competition at Bondi, which screened over 10 days in January. And then on the road, of course, to Perth, 28th year at the Camelot Outdoor at Musselman Park, which I think must be some sort of record for an outdoor film festival, short film festival screening, certainly the longest in Perth. For short screenings and, you know, celebrating wonderful WA films that made it into competition in Bondi, in our Academy Qualifying Australian competition. So some fabulous talent from the West, and also giving audiences an opportunity to see films from across Australia, from across the world, and just really celebrate this unique an independent art form.
Well, I mean, Camelot is such a special cinema. In Perth, it's lucky to still survive after this many years. We have a bit of a tendency to knock down old buildings over here.
So, well, I'm glad it's still there. It's our home. It's the Flicker Fest home.
Now, 3,200 entries. It intrigues me. How do you come up with the final selections out of so many entries when it must take so many people, like, having input into that selection process? There must be some arguments.
There are not so many arguments, but a lot of...
Well, disagreements of opinion.
Yeah, and of course, and there always are, and, you know, what you like and what you don't like, be it food, film, or any other things, it's all subjective, isn't it? So it becomes, yeah, I guess I've been doing the festival for 25 years now, so I really... I guess try to focus on not only innovation and incredible next-gen filmmakers, but also, yeah, just making it accessible for audiences, making it, you know, possible to go along to see films that you're going to be, you know, thinking about for the next year or so, to see a range of films, a range of stories, an incredible diversity of filmmakers telling stories, not just all the same ones. That's what's interesting to me, and I think that's what's interesting to a Flicker Fest audience as well, is to be really immersed in the stories and to see just a whole range of fresh and contemporary viewpoints of the world.
Our consumption of film has changed so much. I mean, heck, over the last 20 years, I mean, we thought VHS was changing things, but the availability of so many films now to stream. Even the vernacular we use, you talk about films rather than just cinema now. Has the digital era changed short film?
Well, I think it's changed it in a positive way, in the sense that a lot more people can make films now. When I started out and people were making films on 35mm, it was like a really, you know, inaccessible for so many people. Who could get a hold of that equipment? Who could pay for that film? Who could pay for the processing? All of that kind of thing was really critical, you know, to a budget. Who could even access it? But now we're seeing a much broader range of voices. I think, yeah, look, things do eventually go online, but it's really hard to track them down. And I guess what Flicker Fest offers is that curated experience. And often filmmakers are hanging out, they'll do their festival run for about 2 years, and they'll go, oh, yeah, well, maybe I'll pop that up online. But the thing about short films is that they're not commercial money-making things, so you're never going to make any money from your short film realistically, but they're a fantastic way to get noticed in the industry. And so being in festivals where it's part of a curated experience for audiences is what it's all about, as opposed to try and sift through 50,000 short form content projects on YouTube on your own. Now, with no guidance.
Sorry to drop the obvious question on you, but how has the pandemic affected things like Flickerfest? I mean, the coming together of people is obviously very important, that communal experience of consuming a festival. But obviously that's become a little bit difficult over the last 48 months.
Oh, look, it's, you know, we've managed to go ahead. It's remarkable. We've not cancelled a single event. We've done everything in real life. Just timing, I guess. I mean, you know, I have to say that, you know, going into the Sydney 10-day festival in the middle of the Omicron wave in January was rather anxiety-provoking.
to say the least.
I mean, you know, I purchased visors, I purchased rapid antigen tests, I purchased so many of you, like, was this? I didn't know this was in the brief for running a film festival. But that's the thing, and you get through it, and you realise, and one of the things that I realised, last year we went ahead in January, and no filmmakers could come from across Australia. This year we went ahead in January, for 10 days once again, and only the WA filmmakers couldn't come. So that was very sad. So, you know, being in real life, having an event, being able to share in a community of like-minded people, watching cinema on the big screen, you can't beat it. I mean, you know, everyone, Sundance, Berlin, everyone goes, oh, yeah, it's nice to be online. And people go online if they're forced to be online, but I think most festivals, they really want people, you know, they want that community to come together and
you need that visceral experience, don't you?
Oh, definitely, definitely. And that's what Flickerfest is about, and that's why we're thrilled that we can go ahead in Perth. The weather looks amazing. Everything's, you know, it's outdoors, so that's kind of the safest place to be at the moment, isn't it, outdoors?
And the weather is looking perfect for that part of the week. Well, talking of that part of the week, Flickerfest is hitting the screens at Camelot Thursday the 24th, Friday the 25th and Saturday the 26th. Now, there's three different categories to look at. The first night being Best of Australian Shorts, second Best of International Shorts and third, Short Laughs Comedy. Now, I'm tempted just to dip into the Short Laughs Comedy because I love a comedy short. But tell us about all the nights.
Well, there's comedy in all of the nights, so just to point that out, that people...
Oh, you're baiting me now, Bronwyn.
...going along on the Thursday and Friday night just to watch social justice contemporary issue films because, you know, we want the experience always to be enjoyable. So there's fabulous comedies within the Australian program and, you know, heartwarming, soulful films, stuff that people will really love. And I've really gone for upbeat because I just felt that we need... You know, we need a bit of upbeat, we need a bit of hope, we need a bit of joy. There's not a pandemic, you know, film to be seen in there. That's always good. That's good, I think. So, you know, Australian program, four wonderful WA films. I really love Thule by Carla Hart. That's a beautiful Noongar film. It's an intergenerational film. It looks at recording your elders and, you know, keeping language and beautiful characters, wonderful, heartwarming story. That's really been... much loved at Flickerfest. Evie, Alex Hoffman, wonderful WA filmmaker once again, director. His film is a horror. It's a bit sci-fi. It's got dinosaurs. It's got it all happening. He's just very accomplished director. David Vincent Smith, wonderful Good Night, heartwarming, lovely story of two characters who unexpectedly come together and have a soul connection. And also... last but not least, in Australia from Mali Tanko. So they're the WA filmmakers sharing the screen with, you know, films starring Paul McDermott and Cara Maurice, crazy space comedies, just a real range, I guess. International program's remarkable, really, you know, it's so condensed from the bigger competition and, you know, there's just some really heartfelt, beautiful, moving insights into the world. You get to travel the world without... having to leave the country, which, of course, we can't really do at the minute. So this is your chance to get a bit of an international fix. And then, of course, last but not least, Short Laughs Comedy and some delightful comedy from Australia across the world. So it's a condensed festival. Perth gets really the best of the best over three nights from the 10-day fest in Bondi. So it's a wonderful opportunity to go along and get that incredible taste of short cinema from Australia and around the world and know that... an incredible amount of energy and time and effort has gone into every little film that's in there and just really thinking about what we wanted to share with audiences in Perth this year.
So, if you've got the time all three nights, because, they're all full of gold nuggets, right?
Oh, absolutely. When you get to that level of competition with 3,200 entries and when you drill that down, I think we had 116 films in actual competition and, it was tough. And, and then each of the nights just has this, there's different genres, but they're faultless within their genres. So, I would highly recommend them. People won't be disappointed. They're beautiful films.
Well, and like I say, it's at Camelot. What a better way to spend a night there cannot be. Outdoors in Mozzie Park, watching great short movies. Bronwyn Kidd, thank you very much for joining us this morning to talk about Flickerfest.
Thank you so much for having me, Jeff.
That's a pleasure. That's Bronwyn Kidd, a festival director of Flickerfest, taking place. Well, the viewings are taking place this Thursday, Friday and Saturday down at Camelot Outdoor Cinema down in Mozzie Park.